Love this podcast? Consider supporting this show. You decide how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Visit the link in the episode description to support now.
Welcome to the Mixtape Lounge. Please welcome your host, Greg Howard Jr. He is one of the hottest singer-songwriters out right now, and you can hear his latest track, Daylight Hours, wherever you get your music. Please welcome the absolutely incredible Mark Del Judas to the Mixtape Lounge. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So tell me, and for the people who may not be familiar with you and your music, what can they expect?
I guess... As far as just like the what I'm trying to project, what I'm trying to like, you know, communicate with everyone is, you know, catchy melodies, introspective lyrics, songs that you can listen to when you're happy, songs that you could listen to when you're sad. Doesn't really matter, you know, to a song should take you to one place. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm trying to do. And just trying to have a lot of fun and, you know, fun and seriousness to it at the same time, you know?
So talk me through the decision to make Daylight Hours the next song that you put out.
It just felt like that was the... I kind of like invented or reinvented myself with that song in a way. Like that's like a great... I felt that it was a good way to kind of just like introduce myself. Cause it was like, it's the first single that I put out as a singer songwriter. So I'm like, I feel like it truly like defines me, like my, you know, just like my beliefs, my personality, my, the type of person I am, you know? And I feel like it was like a really good introduction. Even like the first couple of like the first 3 seconds of it, it sounds like you're waking up, you know what I mean? And it's like, I wanted it to be like the first 5 seconds when you first wake up in the morning where you're like, okay, like there's that little moment, like Jack Antonoff said this, like there's that little moment of like, oh, where like there's nothing like weighing you down and all of a sudden it all comes back. It all comes to you at once. And you're like, oh shit, like damn.
So we're in kind of this landscape where it feels like anybody with an internet connection can put out music. What is it that sets you apart from everybody else?
I feel like I came Well, I started when everything started, as far as just like, putting albums out, putting songs out, or writing songs. I was at the tail end of like the non, Instagram. It was like Instagram was a thing, but it wasn't like TikTok wasn't there yet. And so what happened back then was like, you played a million shows, even if it was like no one was there. And like, I know that's not like the best feeling to go through, but it's also a good thing to go through, because it molds you in a way. It starts to become part of your, I guess, part of your artistry, part of your, like the makings of you as a performer, as an artist. And I feel like I caught the tail end of that, and then like it all of a sudden, like TikTok and like reels were like a thing. So I feel like I have like the best of both worlds in a sense. And I guess the biggest thing for me is writing my own songs. I don't do a lot of covers, because I don't think I sound good when I do a cover, unless I really work on it. And it's like, okay, but it's only like one cover. It'll be like one or two covers tops, because it's like, it takes me a lot to like get there, to like kind of feel like, okay, like here we go, this is good. I feel more, I guess, self-conscious about playing covers out than like my actual songs. Because I feel like people know the song, so they're just like kind of a little bit more like, oh, I heard that,
I get that. There's that feeling that they'll judge you harder on a cover than they will your own music.
it's a little less safe,
Yeah.
So that's how I feel, I guess. I don't know.
Has your creative process changed at all since the day you decided you were going to pursue this music thing?
I think, every song or everything you do is always different, and it might happen. And I mean, sometimes it happens like, the same way, but it always feels familiar, but like the process is always different. Like when that idea like actually comes out of you, when it hits you, it feels the same, but the process to get you there is like always a little different. Because anything can set you off, like anything during the day, or anything, while you're sleeping, literally, like where it could, it's kind of like it's what leads up, it's like your subconscious kind of writing the song for you in a way. So it kind of like, I feel like the process is always different, but the feeling is always the same when it happens.
If you could go back in time to the minute that you decided you were gonna give music a shot and just go for it, would you do anything differently?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably, I mean, from the minute I re like realized I wanted to do it was just like, okay, it was always like write your own songs. But that like if there was no like other like any other idea than that. Like write your songs first, and then everything will like follow. That's a good question, actually. I guess I would tell myself like, it's gonna be long. This is a lifetime kind of thing. So you can't like look at the short term. You gotta play the long term game, And then I guess I would change. I'd probably tell myself like, try to find like start learn. Learn more chords, because now I'm doing that now. It's like I started doing that a few years ago. So it's like, learn all the chords. Like don't just, like live on a progression. Like really like look into, because like what I've noticed is like, different chords or different tunings will get you into it. Like I said about the process, it could kind of just put you in a, it puts you in a headspace that kind of leads you to that next idea, or what, or the idea at hand.
How do you go about maintaining your artistic expression while still thinking about commercial appeal?
I guess because without, I guess without the artistry, the commercial appeal won't happen. You know what I mean? Like if you got to think, you got to think of the art first, and then, because commercial appeal, you could edit that. I guess makeup, you could put makeup on in a sense, So I guess if the songs are good, if the presentation is good, if it's real, then like the commercial thing will follow because like there's people that help with that, I guess. And yeah, that's good.
What do you think is the coolest thing about being a musician?
I think, well, for me, it was the like the direction in life, where it kind of like it gives you a like a direction, like where to go, like where you want to go, where you want to end up. And it's kind of what that's kind of kept me like kind of focused. And that's good. Like, kind of, it makes me feel like there's meaning. You know what I mean? And also, just like, it's kept me out of trouble, which that's good. And, as much trouble you can get into while doing it, like, it always, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, no, I got to think of that long-term thing. Think of the, where you want to go. Don't get into it. Don't crash your car right now. Like you gotta keep going, like that, because it's always kind of, because I guess we know people who don't know, they don't even know what it is, their direction or what they, or I guess their passion or their calling is. And when I hear that, I'm like, damn, like I'm lucky that I figured that out when I was a kid. So that's something to, that I sleep pretty well because of that.
So the music industry is, and the entertainment industry as a whole is known as a pretty superficial and image-driven industry. How do you maintain your authenticity through that?
Whatever feels, if when I'm starting to really like hold on to and start, what I'm really starting to like kind of double down on is, if it doesn't feel right, it's not gonna work. And even if it's like it works in the beginning, it because like if you're compromising some sort of, there's a difference between compromising and like giving in. As an artist, you should, there's certain things where you can compromise, where it's like, okay, you can't be the only voice in your head where you shut everyone out. That's what everyone else is there for, to help you. People will help you kind of get better. But if you're shutting people, if you kind of like shutting off like people, that then that's wrong. You know what I mean? So I guess going back to the question, like you got to do what feels right. And if someone gives you advice on something that feels right, then you should do it. And if it's like something that you're like kind of, well, in your gut when it's like, nah, man, like I can't do that. So yeah, like I just feel like you got to kind of trust your gut, follow the what you stand by, kind of, stand up for what you stand up for.
What is your definition of success?
Well, I'm learning this now. It's like, just community. So, like, just being able to go to a venue or go to wherever you're playing, and people show up to feel to discover themselves in a way, or just to feel, feel better or try to come to terms with something. And if everyone's kind of gathering around for that, that's pretty, I don't know, as if you can make money doing it too, that's successful too, but not in a superficial way. Not in that, like, keeping that superficial thing out and just like bringing people together and, just like manifesting in the whole, in the core, like the what makes everyone, like what makes music, like the definition of it, like the definition of like music, where people, it's coming together, community, and just being, because I look at the audience as like kind of like a one thing, and if that makes sense, it's kind of like you're facing like one being in a way. I know that sounds very, out there, but because people want to experience a real moment in real time. So I feel like that the audience is one thing. Whenever there's an audience there, that's always, that's success to me,
So you mentioned that, at the start of all this, you were out gigging all the time and playing all these shows. During that time, how did you maintain a healthy work-life balance as a musician?
It was hard. Like, the for me, it's, this is something I got, it's actually something I have to work on. It's like, I have to, I got, like, it's just like I feel like a hamster on a wheel, like in a good way. Like, the thing is, it's like I get less anxious and less, anxiety driven when I'm playing more shows. It's hard sometimes, where like there'll be like a weekend where like, I have no shows, and I know that's a good thing, but all of a sudden it just starts to like rise up in me, where I'm like, all right, I guess it's some sort of like, medication in a way. It's, but I gotta work on that. But like, there has to be some, because you'll burn out. And if you burn out, it's counterproductive.
Do you consider yourself an artist or an entertainer?
Yeah, I guess both, because like I said, like I came up in that time where, you had to play those shows, and it teaches you things, and it teaches you like how to really connect with the audience. And then there's like the craft, where you work on that too. I like to think of it as, it's one thing. Like, I a lot of people that I admired were just performers. I came up with the front man. I always had my eyes on the front man. And yeah, I consider myself an artist, and then like and an entertainer at the same time, if that, I don't want to sound too, like, oh, ego,
No,
but,
that's yeah. Are you the musician that you thought you'd be when you started out?
yeah, like, not as far as just like, as far as just like how I go about doing it, as far as just like, as like, I'm still doing it the way that I wanted, not in the sense of like, because I've learned a lot of things along the way. So, and that's part of it. That's another thing, where like, I just wanted to progress and, grow and learn. So I feel like I have done that. And you know, a lot of things change, you know, like, you know, you're part of bands and then, you know, that folds. I think as far as just like writing and releasing music and songs, it's like, yes. And then there's a part of me where like, okay, like I really want to start like making this like my, you know, full-time thing where I feel free of like the other things in life where, you know, I just want to like kind of be like embedded in it, you know? Yeah.
So tell the folks listening at home and all over the world where they can get their hands on your music.
On all streaming platforms. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, I think Amazon, something like that. Yeah, and I got my next release coming in July, so that's gonna be the same deal. You can go on YouTube if you don't have the streaming stuff. You can do Pandora, right? I don't know, but yeah,
I think
everywhere. You
that's
can
still a
find it.
thing.
Yeah, it's still a thing, right? Okay,
I think it's
good.
still a thing, yeah.
Good
And
deal.
where can they track you down on social media?
You could type in my name, MARCDELGIUDICE. Yeah. I'm thinking of change. I don't know. Should I change my handle to make it easier? But
No.
no, right? No, I'm not gonna do
No.
that. Good. All right. Yeah, you just spell it out then. That's good.
And I'll put the links to everything in the show notes so
Cool.
they can follow you. Thank you for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about you and talk to me about your music. I've enjoyed this a whole lot.
Oh, thank you, man. And thank you, you know, for supporting the song and, you know, having me on and, you know, talking to me. And yeah, dude, I really like your page. So I'm always like scrolling through it and looking, you know.
Stick around for more of the Mixtape Lounge right after this.
From the minds that brought you the smash hit podcasts, Your Life the Mixtape, and Headliners comes Your Life the Mixtape Magazine, a free monthly digital magazine that focuses on music, culture, and social commentary on current news and events. Visit www.yourlifethemixtape.com to subscribe today.
Hello there, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Dear Dean magazine from Dear Dean Publishing, my favorite subscription only monthly digital magazine. It's got subscriber-generated content about politics, pop culture, travel, family, pets, and poetry and wellness articles and features, contributor articles from nationally recognized journalists, writers, and artists, and provides opportunities for novice writers and authors and other contributors to share their voice, talents, and words. Did I mention that it's completely free? Dear Dean magazine provides free advert space for small creators, authors, and podcasters, fulfilling its vision that some art should always be free. It's owned and operated by Myron J. Clifton and is designed and distributed by Katia J. Lerner at Buzzword Consulting. Visit deardean.com/subscribe to get signed up.
Thank you. Hey, Suge. I am the one and only Jennifer Bush Harris, known in other parts of the multiverse as What Jay Said. From the planet of TikTok comes What Jay Said, the podcast. Find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. I am a match struck, and fire is at work.
They have got a new album out right now for your listening pleasure. Please welcome the absolutely incredible Ronnie from Preacher Stone. Hello, sir.
How are you today?
I am fantastic. So tell me, and you know, the people that may not be familiar with Preacher Stone, what can they expect from this album?
This album is just a celebration of our classic rock and southern rock roots. I mean, it's a we're really proud of it because of the way it was recorded. It's very organic, it's very live. A lot of it was actually recorded live with a few overdubs here and there, and I think it really captures the spirit of what we are, which is basically a very loud classic rock southern influenced rock and roll band from the southeast of the United States.
Nice. So talk to me about how this album came to be. How did you pick the tracks that are on it?
Well, the first question, and thank you for not asking, the first question always people ask is, your last album came out in 2016 and this one came out in 2024. What happened? Nothing happened but life. But the way that this thing turned out as well as it did is because we took our time. We started working on it in earnest about during the COVID lockdown, and we wrote some songs and we would take those songs out and we'd play them live and we would see how the audience responded to them. And when you write a song and if you record it too fast, sometimes it becomes, that's the way it is for better or worse. But the way we did it, we did some pre-production with these songs. And we take them out on the road and play them and try them out, and a tweak made here and a tweak made there, and somebody changes their part. So when it got time to actually record them in earnest, it just came together magically. So it was a very organic process that was done like two or three songs at a time, as opposed to trying to do 10 songs at one time.
I like that. Do you have a favorite song on the album?
Today my favorite song would probably be Dance with the Devil. Yesterday, however, I was really into Rain or Shine. Yes. And I forget that, you know, because some of the songs that were recorded earlier, like Damage Is Done and Rise Up, and I listen to those and I go, oh yeah, I like that one too. And when Marty and I began this venture back in 2008, we always wanted to make records that were, that there wasn't a throwaway there wasn't a throwaway song or there wasn't a filler. And that's for everybody to judge, you know, whether we got that done right or not. But I feel like with this album is probably, not probably, in my opinion, it's the best job that we've ever done of every track being solid. So it just all came together naturally over an extended period of time, but the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
So we're in kind of this landscape where it feels like that anybody with an internet connection can put out music. What sets Preacher Stone apart from everybody else?
I think the fact that we're a real band, this lineup's been together since the most recent addition to the lineup for the record five joined in 2015. And that camaraderie, that intrinsic things that become a band that happen over years and miles have really separated us. And we may actually be as good or better live than we are on a record. So it's not, you know, we're not auto-tuning stuff. We're not, you know, bringing somebody else in to play a part that we can't play. It's us, and it's real honest. And we, our bass player, Jim Bolt, says, when it comes time for showtime, we just dump it out of a bucket. I mean, it's there. And the fact that anybody with an internet connection can make records today is absolutely true. But what kind of records are they going to make? You know, because everybody's got this idea that, well, I'm going to do all this at home. And you can do it at home, but I don't mind doing pre-production at home, but when it's time to actually record the album, I want to go to somewhere like Gat 3 and work with somebody like Glenn Tabor. In fact, I don't ever work with – I just want to work with Glenn Tabor. He's like, we're writing songs now so we can go work with Glenn Tabor again. But it's easy, but it's not. You know, it's not, because – And I see so many people that are just have so many, they know how to manipulate the internet better than I, but there's an earnest or realness to us that I don't think a lot of people possess. And I don't mean that I don't mean that as a disparaging mark against anybody else, but this is a real band with real scars and real tattoos and real experiences. And it's just real. And you can tell real. I mean, you really can. And I think that people see that. Or I hope that people see that. You know, that's the thing.
If you could go back in time to the minute that y'all put together Preacher Stone, would you do anything different? Oh, can you?
Oh, I can go right back to that. I remember the first day. I do. Vividly, I'll never forget the first day. Would I do anything different? I don't think you can. I mean, I really don't think you can, because this is our life and our story, and it has to have all those pages in it. I don't think that I would be where I am as a person or as a musician if I hadn't gone through all of that. I mean, you can always look back and go, well, we made a left there where we should have made a right. That'll make you crazy. But I got to say no, because there's the only really answer there is because, yeah, I mean, there's some people that I wouldn't have dealt with, and there's some things that we wouldn't have done. But I don't have any regrets, and I know that's a very cheesy thing to say, but we wouldn't be here now, and I love here now, if we hadn't gone through all of that, because we went through so many band members, we went through so many changes, we went through all this good stuff. But when we arrive at, you know, Jim Bolt on bass and Ben Robinson on guitar and Wyatt on drums, and, you know, unfortunately with the passing of Marty and Johnny, I mean, we welcomed Nick Wynn into the band to be our guitar player. Nick's been in our family, musical family, for years. So no, I got no regrets, and I don't think we could really change anything.
How does Preacher Stone go about balancing artistic expression with commercial appeal when you're putting together like an album or anything like that?
You ask the best questions. We don't balance anything. We don't care. We really do not care. Somebody comes into the band room. Usually it's Marty. It was Marty or Ben with a riff or an idea. One of our newest things that's on for, it'll be on our next record. Wyatt, our drummer, came in with an idea and everybody went, oh, let's use it. We don't care. We don't ever sit down and go, okay, this song has to be 3 minutes and 15 seconds long, and it has to be about a girl, and it has to be about saving the environment and Greenpeace, and we don't care. When we started this band, we were too old, too ugly, and the music was out of style. It was impossible. We were going to go down an impossible road. Let's go. You know, somebody asked me one day, said, what? They were talking about a local cover band that does really well. And they said, well, what's the difference between you and the local cover band? And I said, they have a boat that they take out on the weekends. And it's shiny and it's pretty and everybody has a good time. We're Vikings. We may never come back. I mean, we're going and we may never come back. So we don't worry about that stuff. I mean, I don't ever sit down and go, okay, I've got to write a song that appeals to this group of people. I hang around the same guys all the time. We all feel the same way or close to the same way, or we couldn't get along as well as we do. We will argue about just the weirdest stuff, and we all have different opinions. But on a values level, we all feel kind of the same way. And, you know, I'm the lyricist, and I just write about the way I feel. And if you gravitate toward that or that makes a connection with you, then we have a connection and we've got something, and you become one of our people. And if you disagree with my views or my values or what I'm saying, then I respect your right to go, that's not for me. So we've never, ever written a song and said, we're going to write it this way so that it would be more. We've never had that conversation. I don't ever want to have that conversation because I don't think Aerosmith had that conversation. I don't think AC/DC had that conversation. Queen surely didn't have that conversation. Leonard Skinner never cared. Thin Lizzy, I can't ever imagine that coming out of Phil Lynott's mouth. Those are my idols. Those are my heroes. No, we don't care. I don't think Zeppelin ever cared. I mean, the list goes on and on. You know, yeah, and our process is very organic. We don't have big discussions over how something should be. We just try it. If somebody has an idea when we're working out a song and everybody goes, okay, we'll try it. And when you try it, you save time, because when you try it and it's a disaster, everybody in the room knows it's a disaster. And when you try it and it's a success, everybody knows it works. So that you spend your time experimenting instead of pontificating has always been better for us.
What would you say is the coolest thing about being a musician?
The people I've met. The relationships that I have now because of music that I would not have. I would have never, ever had the opportunity to talk to you if it hadn't been for music. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to travel the world and meet people. And I've met some really good people. And that's the thing about Preacher Stones. We're real people. We'll talk to you about real things. And we don't, like, we do the cruises or we do festival shows or whatever. We're not the band that goes and hides over here so that, you know, we'll come out there and sit with you. And it's the people. There are hundreds of good people. And don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those people that thinks that everybody on Facebook, is my friend on Facebook, is my real friend. I get it. But there are people that I've met that have really made my life better through music. So that's got to be the best part for me. I mean, it's great to have people cheer for you. It's great to see people standing in line to pay to get in to see you. I love looking at the numbers of the record sales and the streams. That's fun. But it's the people. It's the human element.
Now, you've mentioned a couple of times that Preacher Stone is a real band and you're real people. How do y'all go about maintaining that level of authenticity in what is very often a superficial and image-driven industry?
Oh, we've had the luxury of being independent. We've had the luxury of doing it our way. It's been a hard road. Everything that we've got, we earned, we fought for, we worked for. That keeps you humble. We also all have lives, children, mortgages, things that have to be done, parents, family members that don't view us as hallelujah. They just view us as Ronnie, you got to take the trash out, or Ronnie, you know, and that we talk about it sometimes. And Wyatt, our drummer, and I, we were talking about it the other day, and he is an incredible gifted individual. He can play keyboards. He can play drums. He can sing. He sucks on guitar right now. I'm just going to say it, but he's working on it. But he'd laugh at me if I said that, but he's just a brilliant human being. But we were talking the other day, and he said, well, this is just something that I do. It's not who I am. And I think you have to remember that. You know, Jim Bolt's an incredible talent and one of the best people you'd ever hope to meet. And if things go sideways, you want him on your side. You know, Ben Robinson's a phenomenal talent, but he's also a very lovable, funny human being. And it just go down the line that we're just surrounded by real people. And real life will keep you humble. Because if I've never had the luxury of living in the rock star vacuum, because I've always had to come home and mow the yard, or I've always had to come home and add oil to my wife's car, or I've always had to come home and clean the floors or take the dog to the vet, you know. So it's just being real. But I think that is what makes it, I don't know, I think that's what people identify with us. Not a whole lot of glitz and glamour.
So speaking of, you know, real life and having families, is there a secret as a musician to maintaining a healthy work-life balance?
I don't think it's any different than anything else. I mean, there are times when you're gone, but I think the people around you, just after a while, they understand that that's who you are. And I kind of backtrack on what I said. If you're a talented drummer or a talented guitar player, a talented bass player, that's just something you do. That's no different than being a talented plumber. But with musicians, true musicians have to do it. It's not a question of I want to do it or I would like to do it. You have to do it, because if you don't do it, you're just absolutely miserable. So I think the balance comes from just taking care of your other responsibilities and don't slack on the things that make you, that real people have to do, that everybody has to do, because you're just another person, but you're another person with this unnatural desire to perform music. And, it's a need that has to be met, or something that has to be, you know, fed. But the balance comes from just remembering you're also a human being too. Because I would never, to me that would be the most destructive crash course a person could be on, is just being that. Your whole life depends on how many people cheered. God, that'd be awful. And it's killed a lot of people. That's killed a lot of people, in my opinion. And that's caused a lot of people to become, you know, addicted to substances, because they're trying to match the balance of, I was wonderful now, but now I'm just me and I don't like that. So you kind of got to like yourself too. And that may have been too deep of an answer. I apologize.
That was fantastic. How does Preacher Stone define success?
To be a little bit better and a little bit further up the ladder today than we were yesterday.
I love that. That's a fantastic answer.
To be just a little bit better as musicians, as people, as a band, as a brand, just a little bit better today than we were yesterday. And we can be a little bit better tomorrow than we are today. Then we're trending. We don't care about, we're not looking at, we're not looking at goals. We're looking at trajectory. It's all about the trajectory.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. That comes from a lot of reading and a lot of thinking and a lot of dealing with a lot of stuff. Just going, okay, what can I control? You know, because I can't make somebody write us a check for $1 gazillion and answer all our prayers. And I don't really want that to happen anyway. I'd rather work for it and a little bit better today than I was yesterday.
Is Preacher Stone the band that you thought you'd be when you guys started out?
Yes. Yes. It's the band that I hoped it would be when we started out. And you talk about starting out, I got to tell the story. God rest his soul. You know, Marty Hill founded the band. And when I first got the call, I wasn't going to be the singer. I was going to be the third guitar player. He was going to put this band together with the same footprint as Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm a lyricist and a songwriter and a team player. And I came in and we started coming up with these ideas. And first time we ever sat down in a room together, we spent like 30 minutes in the driveway with the back of his SUV open. And he's got bayonets from, you know, war bayonets from World War I, World War II. And we're looking at him and I'm going, yeah, that's this. And we're identifying which one is what. Well, that's World War I right there, because it says, you know, God is with us on the and he looks at me like, you know this. I was, yeah, man, I'm a history buff too. And we had known each other, but we'd never worked together. We'd never really talked that much other than, oh, you got a Les Paul, I got a Les Paul, that kind of thing. And sat down and he said, I got a riff. And there's this iconic figure with his cowboy hat on, and it's March, you know, and he's dressed to go on stage and I'm wearing, you know, t-shirt and shorts, tennis shoes. And he plays the riff for the song Not Today. And the first thing that we ever wrote together was Not Today, the song that got us on Sons of Anarchy and sort of kicked this whole thing off. And I went away that day going, I don't know if this guy likes me or not, but we've got something. And several trips back from, you know, back and forth and coming up with this stuff. And I wanted it. I know the imprint was the Skynyrd model, but I think as we got going, we heard more and the music started to change more from, it was always original. It never sounded, I mean, there were some things where we tipped our hat to other artists, but it always had something that was different that other people didn't have. And as we continued to work together through lineup changes and one record after another, I think it all became in focus. And I think 5 really brought that into focus the way it should be. So this has exceeded my expectations. We've become the band that I hoped we would be. And It's an awesome feeling to realize that you've been on a journey for so long and the results. We didn't peak at record number 2, and then everything else is just a sorry excuse for music that we're putting out for people. We're getting better. And we've always operated on the idea that there are more people that don't know about us than do know about us. And out of those people that don't know about us, if 3% of those people like us, we've made a career. So, like I said, back to that. But yes, it's what I thought it would be, and then some.
So tell the folks listening at home and all over the world where they can get their hands on your music.
We're out there on all the streaming, downloading platforms. You can go to PreacherStoneBand.com, and that's kind of a hub center, and you can purchase anything that we have on PreacherStoneBand.com. That's PreacherStoneBand.com.
And where can they track y'all down on social media?
Social media, PreacherStoneBand.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on all those things. I mean, you can find us. You can Google us, right? We're on Wikipedia. I mean, you know, we're out there, buddy. Because like you said, anybody that's got internet can be a rock star. Yeah. Oh, if it were that easy. Oh, if it were that easy.
Well, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about the band and the music. I've enjoyed this so much.
Thank you. I'd love it. Just let's chat again sometime. And I just want to say thank you for supporting us and helping us spread the word.
Not that it matters. My heart was in tatters. Now I'm on the mend. Sugar and spice left me cold as ice, but never again.
The Mixtape Lounge is a Your Life. The Mixtape Media, LLC production in association with Rod Wharton Productions. All rights and trademarks reserved.